United States of America will suffer from an anxiety disorder. Just to give you a little perspective, that's about double the number of people who deal with depression. If you count the percentage of Americans who are diagnosed with anxiety disorders at some point in their life, that number jumps from 18% to 30%. To put that in numerical terms of population, that's about 95 million people in the United States. And this number doesn't even take into account those of us who just do a lot of worrying. When we worry and become anxious, it does more than just make us feel bad. It actually messes up our life. It wrecks our life. It cripples us and keeps us from living the lives that God created us to live. Chronic worry interferes with our sleep. It interferes with our relationships. It messes up our ability to work, our job performance. It affects our physical health. It can cause severe headaches. It can even make us susceptible to disease that we'd otherwise not be prone to. Though you may not have been diagnosed with an anxiety disorder, and you may not even consider yourself a big worrier, all of us can be affected by worry and anxiety. In his book titled Anxiety Free, a psychologist by the name of Dr. Robert Leahy reports on some recent studies that were done in the area of worry and anxiety. The research revealed that over the past half century, a little over 50 years, that anxiety levels have actually increased in the United States of America. And what they found out that the average child today, get this, the average child today, this is what they discovered, exhibits the same level of anxiety as the average psychiatric patient in the 1950s. To summarize his findings, Dr. Leahy says that we live in a nation of nervous wrecks. And the irony of our situation is that with anxiety increasing, you would think that technology, that the comforts that we have, the securities that we enjoy would do something about that. But actually, anxiety has increased even though we live in a time when we have more technology, more physical comforts, and even in some ways more security than people had back in the 1950s. And yet it doesn't seem to be doing any good. Thankfully, the teachings of Jesus offer a solution to our worries. And even though our career is often a big source, our jobs are often a big source of anxiety, Jesus tells us a career choice that we can make that will actually free us from the crippling influences of worry and anxiety. Well, today is part three of a sermon series called Jesus is Worth It. And I hope you've been finding that he truly is worth it. We've been looking at how to be free from the things that hold us back from experiencing the blessings of being a follower or a disciple of Jesus. I'd like to give a little announcement too. In 3 weekends from now, we're building up this discipleship series that we've been in called Jesus is Worth It. It's building up to a discipleship weekend. It's September 5 and 6. I hope you'll mark this down in your calendar. We'll be hosting a special weekend that focuses on discipleship. Our guest speaker is the director of discipleship from the Central California Conference. Her name is Pastor Leah Jordash. And she's going to be coming here Friday night, September 5 at 7 p.m. and going all throughout the Sabbath hours till Sabbath afternoon, just after potluck. I'm going to be focusing on what it means to be a disciple. You don't want to miss this. Please mark it down. Invite a friend. It's going to be a powerful experience. But this morning, we're going to be looking at a different aspect of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. How being a disciple actually affects our careers and our career choices. The title of the message is Jesus is Worth Your Career. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd give us clear minds to be able to hear your voice. I pray, God, that you would deal with any distractions inside of us in our thinking, in this room, May we be able to commune with you. May we be able to hear you. May we be able to see you guiding us into the career that you want for us to be all about. May we see our careers the way you see them. Father, we don't want to let anything get in the way of following you. And so I pray that you just give us the courage to make the choices that we need to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We sang this song just a few moments ago, and I thank the Seville family for that great praise singing time. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to be starting with verse 31. If you need to follow along in your pew Bible, if you didn't bring a Bible, just grab a pew Bible right in front of you and open that up to page 940, Matthew chapter 6. Starting with verse 31, page 940. Much like the people of today, while you're going there, just going to give you a little background here. Much like the people of today, people living in Bible times were very much prone to worrying. They had a lot of things they could worry about. You may not think that because it seems like things were very simple back then, but they were very much prone to worrying. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus is sitting on a mountainside. And as I picture it in my mind's eye, I picture this beautiful scene where Jesus is sitting on this grassy slope on this mountainside. We know that they were overlooking the Sea of Galilee, which would have been a very beautiful picture, seeing the serene waters of the Lake of Galilee off in the distance. I picture a gentle breeze blowing up off of the lake and bending the green blades of grass and seeing wildflowers that were out there. Just this beautiful picture. Jesus' outdoor classroom is really a beautiful place. But chances are many people who are sitting around on that green slope listening to Jesus were too worried to notice the beauty. Many people, or most people, I should say, living in Palestine had very little beyond the basic necessities in life. They were barely getting by. Since they earned little money and they were largely dependent upon the productivity of the land for their basic needs, their future was constantly in question. There were no guarantees that they were going to have food, that they were going to have water, that they were going to have clothing tomorrow. They were living, many of them were living just from hand to mouth, from day to day. Palestine is also a very dry climate, so there were some things that were completely out of their control. If the rains did not come at the right time, or if they didn't get enough rain, the people and the livestock that they depended upon for food and clothing may not survive. They may not make it. So as Jesus spoke, he was fully aware, looking into the eyes of the people, looking into their faces as they sat there and listened to the master teacher unfold the wisdom of the kingdom. As Jesus spoke to them, he could look into their lives and he could see that there was some real worry that was going on. Maybe some of you can relate with that right now as I'm talking to you. Maybe you have some real worry that's taking place in your life. Some things, some anxiety that's crippling you from the life that you know God has for you. Well, Jesus could see this as he looked into their faces, and he lovingly speaks to them and offers them a career choice that he knows will bring relief to our lives. Notice what he says in Matthew chapter 6. Hope I've given you time to find it. Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 31. Jesus says, "Therefore, do not worry. Do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans," or as the New King James Version says, "for the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." If we consider for a moment what Jesus is actually saying here, we stop and think. I mean, it's a familiar passage. As I mentioned, we all just sang the song, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things," what? "Will be added unto you." It's a familiar verse to many of us. We hear it, and because of the familiarity that we have with this verse, it's easy, for us to not take in the significance of this statement. If we really pause and think about what Jesus is saying, he's really making an outlandish, almost unbelievable promise. I mean, if I were to come up to you and if I were to say, "Hey, I can tell you a way. I can tell you some choices that you can make. And if you make those choices, you will never worry again about having enough." Never worry again. Anxiety and worry will be completely removed from your life. I can imagine that if I were to say that to you, you would look at me skeptically, probably. You'd probably say, nah, I don't know if I believe that. I don't know if I buy that. How is it possible to live worry-free? And yet that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, do not worry. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. Don't worry about these things because your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus is telling us that we don't have to worry. We can be completely worry-free. The worry that cripples our lives can be completely taken out. And this is how it's done. This is how we can live worry-free. This is what he says. This is the career choice that he's telling us to follow after. He says, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. When Jesus began his ministry on earth, he preached a simple message. Mark chapter 1, verse 15 tells us that Jesus came preaching. He says that the kingdom of God is at hand. So we can make a connection here when Jesus says, seek first God's kingdom. And Jesus comes preaching, saying the kingdom of God. Last week we looked at a verse that said something similar. How he came saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Mark 1:15, he says the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, Jesus came to reveal what God's kingdom and what his righteousness look like. So if we're going to seek God's kingdom first, then the logical choice is to seek Jesus first. Does that make sense? This becomes our career. This is the career choice. To seek first his kingdom is to seek Jesus first, to seek to be with Jesus in all things, to learn from Jesus, to see the things that Jesus did, the things that Jesus said, all about Jesus, learn from him and seek that first. That's what it means to seek God's kingdom first. A huge source of worry in our lives is our careers. And that's exactly what Jesus is referring to here in Matthew chapter 6. In verse 31, he's talking about people saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? And the typical way, the logical way that we resolve that is through our careers. In the New King James Version, it refers to these people that are saying this as Gentiles. The New International Version says pagans. Maybe your translation says something a little bit different. But what Jesus is referring to, he's not talking about an ethnicity. He's not saying that if you're not a Jew, this is what you do. He's actually talking about people who do not know God. He's giving a Jewish, he's saying it in a Jewish way. In Jewish terms, he's saying the people who do not know God worry. The people who do not know that God is a good God, that God is a caring God, that God is a God who is generous and is able to provide for our lives, the people who do not know this are the ones who say, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? They're the ones that are anxiously seeking after all these things. Some versions say that they run after all these things. In other words, this is their career. Their career is nothing more than this anxious pursuit of their daily needs in life. That's the end of their career. That's all it's worth. It's making money so that they can provide for their daily needs. Well, at a very young age, children begin to talk about what they're going to be when they grow up. And this is a fun thing. We'll often enjoy asking kids, hey, so what do you want to be when you grow up? And they'll say, well, maybe a doctor, or a teacher, or a fireman, or whatever it might be. And it is a fun interaction, but it's more than just a fun interaction. It's actually a very important thing for kids to do because we want for kids to be responsible, to go to school. That's a good thing. Do that. Graduate. Pursue a career. Get a job. Be able to provide for your needs. We want for them to be able to do that. That's a good thing. Parents are happy when their children go out and they are no longer having to support them financially. Is that not true? We like that. That's a good thing. But there's more to it than just earning money. As important as it is for kids to do all this, go to school and pursue a career, God's plan for our career involves so much more than merely making money to provide for ourselves. A while back, a friend of mine, he returned from a mission trip in Africa, and he related with me an experience that challenged my concept of career. Now, usually when you ask people, what do? They'll typically respond with some kind of description of their occupation. I'm a dentist, right? They'll say, I'm a teacher. Okay, they'll say, I'm a mom. I stay home and I take care of my kids, right? They'll typically respond with this kind of a response. But what my friend found out when he was down in Africa is when he was interacting with these church members, he went down there to help with an evangelistic effort among a group of Seventh-day Adventist churches. And he found that when he went down there and began to interact with some of these people, and he asked them the question, what is it that you do? Their response was different than what we would think. You see, they didn't see what they did as merely the way they make money. Instead of responding with their occupation, when he asked them what they did, they would say, well, I'm a follower of Jesus. That's how they would respond. And my sense from that conversation with this guy is not that they were trying to witness, you know, and say, oh, let me just bring up a way so I could talk to you about the Lord. That wasn't, and there's nothing wrong with that, but that wasn't what they were trying to do. Really, this was the way they viewed their career. They saw that their way of making money was just a small part of their life. It wasn't what identified them. It wasn't what called the shots in their life. It was merely an avenue for ministry. It was an avenue by which they could share the gospel with other people. And so when they were thinking, in their own way of thinking, what they thought of, when they thought of what they do, what is their career? Well, in their way of thinking, their career was, I seek Jesus' kingdom first. I follow Jesus. And I think that's what God's really talking about. I think they have it right. When they say, what I do is I'm a follower of Jesus, I believe that's what God's getting at. That's what Jesus is getting at here. Our careers have to be more than just making money, because if that's all they are, we're going to be worried sick. You may have a solid job. You may love doing what you do. But if this job defines you, if this job is everything, if it's an end in and of itself in your life, if it's your source of value, your source of purpose, your source of security is wrapped up in that job, then you have good reasons to be worried, because no job can guarantee that we will never be laid off. No job can ever guarantee that you will have the health to continue to do it. No job can guarantee that nothing bad will happen. And even if nothing bad happens in your career, the fact is that we are all aging, and at some point we're going to come to the place in our lives where we can no longer do this job. And if our identity is wrapped up in that, what will we be left with? If that's our source of security, what will we be left with? Although the idea of committing your career to following Jesus might seem like a scary idea, it's really the only way that we can have job security. Because when we seek God's kingdom first, notice who it is that we begin to work for. Who do we work for when we seek God's kingdom first? Verse 32 describes who we work for in these terms. He says that your heavenly, what? Father knows what you need before you ask him. When our career is seeking God's kingdom first, then we begin to work for our Heavenly Father. In other words, it's a family business, right? So we go to work for our Father. And so everything that belongs to our Father is something that we can look forward to inheriting. That's how family businesses work. When we seek God's kingdom first, when we see that as our career, we can look forward to more than just a paycheck. We can look forward to the inheritance of God. Working for our Heavenly Father is the best career ever. You can't beat that career. When we work for God, we can know that we will never be out of a job, because he doesn't lay his workers off. He doesn't come to the place where he's like, oh man, we're over budget, we need to cut back and lay people off. He never does that. When you make a mistake, he never fires you. Your family, Because he is our heavenly Father, he knows best where we are going to be most effective working. And so he puts us in places where we can work. He's the one that places us. When we work for our heavenly Father, he's the one that encourages us. And he gives us what we need to be successful. If we get sick or hurt on the job, he's able to heal us. He has the best insurance plan. To keep us from burning out, God gives us rest. To keep us from being unproductive, he trains us and gives us new job opportunities. And when he pays us in the currency of heaven that never loses its value. When we go to work for God, we have nothing to worry about. But as amazing as this job is, working for God, seeking his kingdom first, seeing that as our career, as amazing as that sounds, it's not always easy. Because when you go to work for God, sometimes you may have to stand alone. When everyone else is doing things that you know are not right, you're gonna have to stand alone. Sometimes you may have to work harder, and you may have to do a job that doesn't pay as much just so that you can honor the Sabbath. It's not always easy when you seek his kingdom first and you subordinate your career and your occupation to his will in your life. It's not always easy. Sometimes seeking God's kingdom first may even require that you make decisions that don't seem to make sense as far as your career is concerned. They may not seem to be the best decisions for your career. A little over 4 years ago, I had this impression, and those of you who are Christians and know how this works, you'll know what I'm talking about. I had this impression that God was moving me to another job. And it wasn't just a passing impression where it just happened once and then it went away. It continued to come into my mind, and I continued to think about this, and he continued to place this in my mind that it's time for you to move. Well, I had been working at this job. I was pastoring, and I was in a really good situation. Been there for 5 years. As far as I knew, I was getting good evaluations, and people liked me. They weren't wanting me to leave anywhere. And yet this impression kept coming to me that I need to move on to another career. So I decided to pray about that, and he kept confirming it. And so I submitted my letter of resignation. I turned it in. I said, okay, I'm not going to be working here after June. Well, the problem with that was I had no idea where I was going to be working after that. So I submit my letter of resignation, and I'm thinking, what am I supposed to do? I'd spoken with the conference, okay, my employers, and they said, you know, we really have no job opportunities here. If I were you, I would send out my resume to other places, right? That's not a really good sign. You don't want to hear that from the employer. There's really no job opportunity. So I sent out my resume. And at first I wasn't very worried because I knew people who knew people, you know? And so I was like, well, I have some friends down south and maybe I'll be able to get a job down there. And as I continued to pursue getting a job elsewhere, I began to keep running into closed doors. People who I knew, conference officials, people who hired pastors were telling me, well, we have no job opportunities. Or they would say, we do have job opportunities, but we're on a hiring freeze right now. And I was in a place for a while, for a little over 3 months, that was very uncomfortable. I'm like, God, this doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. I'm in a good career right here. I have a good job. Things are going well. People like me. I have opportunities to minister and to serve other people. What's the problem? Why would I move when I don't have a job offer on the table? That really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But that's how God was leading me. And so there was a time where all I had to hold on to was, well, I'm working for God, and God is going to take care of me. That is what he says. And I'm not going to tell you that I wasn't worried. I can't tell you that. There were times where I was worried. I was anxious. I was like, man, how is this going to work out? But I would keep coming back to that promise that God is going to take care of me as I seek his kingdom first, even if he's calling me to make a decision that does not make sense. After a while, it was over 3 months, My phone started ringing, and I looked at the caller ID, and there was a phone number on there that I didn't recognize, but it had a 209 area code on it. And it was the pastor from this church. He was calling me because he said, "Hey, I heard that you were looking for a job." God began to open the doors where I didn't see any doors being opened. And before long, here I come. I'm here. I'm working here now as a pastor. And God is taking care of me. And it's a good thing. You guys are wonderful people. And it's an honor to be able to serve here. I can tell you from firsthand experience that when we seek God's kingdom first, that when we go to work for God, and we're not serving some occupation, some career, and just doing what we think is best for that career, when we seek God and put his kingdom first, when we go to work following after Jesus, that we have nothing to worry about. He takes care of his kids. So this morning, I'd like to invite you to do just that, to seek his kingdom first. I'd like to invite you to put everything on the line to follow Jesus, to see your career as so much more than an opportunity to earn money and provide for your needs, but to see it as an avenue for ministry, to reach the world, to make a difference in the world. Those of you who are parents, you understand how this works, and I've had to have it explained to me. But parents will often explain something to their children, and their children are just like, "You don't know what you're talking about. You don't get it." But parents are saying, "Are you kidding me? I've walked the road. I know so much more than you do." The kids aren't having it, but parents can see that. God is our heavenly Father, and he knows what is best for us. But oftentimes we say, "Are you kidding me, God? You don't know what you're talking about. How am I going to make this? This would be career suicide." When God is leading in your life, you have nothing to worry about. When you commit your career to following Jesus and seeking his kingdom first, you have nothing to worry about. So this morning, I want to invite you to accept God's career for you. Your career is so much more than dentist or teacher or housewife or mom or whatever it might be. Your career is bigger than that. It's seeking God's kingdom first. If you're employed right now, the people that are around you in your job are not there by coincidence. God has placed you there for a specific purpose, and that is not to make money or help them make money. Yes, that's part of it, but the bigger purpose is to save them for the kingdom of God. Well, if I share my faith, what might happen to my career? God is going to give you wisdom. Now, I'm not telling you that you need to just be belligerent and annoying and aggressive and inconsiderate. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that the people that are around you at your work are there because God wants for you to share his love with them in a compelling, in a considerate, in an understanding, and yet in an attractive way. He wants for them to be in the kingdom, and he has you there for a special purpose. If you are retired, hey, I'm going to talk to you too. If you're retired, this is for you. God has a work for you to do. That is your career. And I want to challenge you to view all the activities that you're involved in. You have such great variety of things that you can be involved in, helping a church, or maybe it's with your family, or maybe it's some community activity. All the activities that he has you involved in, if you are retired, he is calling you to see those activities as an avenue to advance his kingdom. If you're in school or if you're a stay-at-home parent, God is calling on you to advance his kingdom, to see all the opportunities before you as an avenue, not an end in and of itself, but as an avenue to advance his kingdom. Parents have one of the greatest careers. If you are a dedicated stay-at-home mom or stay-at-home dad, there are those two, you have such an amazing opportunity to change the world for Christ. If you can raise your kids to see that life is more than just having a career and earning money, but it's something bigger than that. It's seeking his kingdom first. We're planning and we're working for an eternity in heaven. And every day we have the opportunity to lay up our treasures in heaven and share the gospel with other people so that people can be saved forever. It's a wonderful, wonderful career that God has planned for us. Whatever your occupation is, I want to challenge you to follow Jesus first. Let nothing get in the way. And as I'm talking here, I just want to invite you to open up your hearts to God and allow him to impress upon you the ways in which perhaps your career is taking a higher position in your life than it should. Is your career defining you? Are you putting that first in some ways? Are you putting the will of your boss before the will of your heavenly Father? If that's happening, I want to challenge you to set all those things aside and to seek God's kingdom first. Make the decision right now. Decide that you're going to not allow anything to get in the way of putting Jesus first, seeking his kingdom first, and commit your career to advancing God's kingdom, because after all, Jesus is worth it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, this touches us deeply. We long for security, and the way that we're naturally wired to find that security is by working really hard, storing up money. Father, forgive us for the ways in which we've put our career before you. Thank you for giving us something so much better than just merely working to earn money. Father, thank you for calling us to work and using that as an avenue to advance your kingdom. I pray, God, that you'd give us the courage to put our priorities in the right place. And as we are thinking about your promise here, we thank you in advance that all the things that we need will be given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God bless you richly as you seek his kingdom first, as he inspires you to see the bigger picture of the career he's calling you to enjoy and to live for him. And may your life be filled with everything that you need. God bless you.